snow finally gone and the temps rising, if only modestly at this point, it's time to let the tourism commence. But what does this pursuit of the great escape from the daily drudgery really mean for our state, our region, our economy? To help us understand that this hour, we're bringing on a trio of tourism experts to guide us through the economic forces it offers and the different types that are available. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us this stormy afternoon in western Wisconsin. Joining me for this tourism talk are three people who eat, drink, breathe, and live tourism all year long. First, joining us by phone from her home in Madison, I'd like to welcome Lisa Marshall. Lisa is the communications director for the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Rich.
Great to have you. Next, I'd like to introduce James Bolin, who will have driven something like 250 miles round trip to be on this program. I didn't realize we had that kind of authority. James is the executive director of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce. James Bolin, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And last but certainly not least, I'd like to welcome Linda John, who drove a considerably shorter distance to be on the program. Linda is the executive director for Visit Eau Claire. Linda John, thanks for stopping by as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. And listeners, here's what I'd like you to do. Give us a call and tell us your favorite ways and places to vacation. I'm sure there are some really great family traditions and stories out there just begging to be shared. All you have to do is give us a call. The number is 1-800-228-5615. If you're a little bashful, you can do that on Facebook. Go to The West Side on Facebook and share your story. We'll be sure to share it on the air. That number again, by the way, 800-228-5615. So, Lisa Marshall, I'll start with you since you were the chief tourism. I don't know if there's a hierarchy here or not, but since you're with the State Department, my first question is, it might seem kind of dumb, but what is tourism? Say,
yeah.
I drive from... You know, Superior. I drive from Eau Claire to Chippewa Falls to pick up some groceries or whatever. Is that tourism, or what? What's the legal definition here?
Well, tourism is any time you leave your own home to go and enjoy activities or recreation, stay at a hotel, attend a festival, go out to dinner. It's when you are out of your own area and spending money, you are now a traveler.
Okay, all right.
So if you went to Chippewa Falls for a festival, and maybe, or if you went a little farther and you stayed overnight, you're officially a traveler.
So now let's get to the brass tacks. As far as industry is concerned in Wisconsin, agriculture seems to top the list, or at least they brag that it does, with something along the lines of $20 billion per year or more in economic development or whatever for the state. Where does tourism fall in?
Well, tourism is really big business. It's a huge industry for the state. And last year, the tourism economy was about $16.8 billion. And, what that count includes is, when people stay at hotels and lodging properties and they spend at attractions and events and festivals, all of that is contributed in that $16.8 billion. And tourism, it supports jobs in the state. 1 in 13 jobs can be attributed to being sustained by tourism. And it also generates tax revenue for the state, $1.3 billion in tax revenue. That's when travelers come here from other states like Illinois and Minnesota. They're basically importing money into our economy.
Hmm. Now, Linda John, I'll go to you next. What types of businesses benefit? Is it all businesses, or is it just a few, like the bait shop or whatever?
Right. That's one of the beauties of the tourism industry is there's really something in it for everyone. There's the direct spending, and that can be divided up with the lodging industry, restaurants. Travelers love to eat, and that whole culinary tourism thing is a growing trend. Retail, specialty shops, antique shops, events, attractions, transportation is a big piece of that as well. So those are all those direct spending things. But then you've got the indirect spending as well, where the florists and the laundry services and those secondary businesses that need to serve the tourism, the direct tourism businesses. So you have that, and then you've got the induced spending. Those of us who
induced,
are
induced, does that mean someone's forced to spend, or what?
It just sort of happens because of the spending. Those of us that are employed in the tourism industry, we
There's many of us, as Lisa mentioned, we spend money in the economy. We're getting our cars fixed and going to the dry cleaner and the chiropractor and whatever. Mm-hmm. So all of that. And then you've got the residents that live there. And because of the visitor spending that comes into a community, all of a sudden they're benefiting from the tax revenues that are generated, so they don't have to pay as much. So really, there is something in it for everyone when you look at the tourism industry.
Now, you mentioned culinary tourism. There are many different types, which it was new to me once I started looking into this with the help of Mr. Henry Lippold, of course. James Bolin, you know, when I thought about tourism before, I thought, okay, fishing, boating, lakes, cable.
I like that that's what pops into your mind.
Okay. So, I mean, that would be a majority of what happens up there, and is that the majority of what tourism is in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I think that's a lot of the perception, but I think tourism is really expanded far beyond that. Obviously, Wisconsin is known for its lakes, 15,000 lakes, and we have fish in ours. And, you
yes.
know, and we have great trails, we have great forests. There's all kinds of outdoor recreational activities and things to see, great campgrounds and things like that. But there's great culture. We have great orchestras, we have great museums. And so really, you could travel all over the state and be amazed at the things that you see and the kind of the hidden gems and stuff that you can uncover. And so tourism really goes far beyond just fishing and just, you know, coming up for the week-long family vacation. It really is a lot more than just that.
Now, Lisa Marshall, some other types. What are some other types of tourism that one might not automatically, you know, go to?
Linda and James are going to appreciate this, and I'm going to toss it to them, but sports tourism is huge in Wisconsin, and especially for both Cable and Eau Claire, and I think both of them, I'll let them talk more about what sports means to their communities.
Well, first let's hear from Linda John, because we had some billboards that I noticed, and there was a lot of buses in town, coach buses, with a lot of softball players.
Right.
We had some kind of a national tournament, didn't we?
Yeah, that was the NCAA Division III Women's Softball Championship, and that is a great example. That's one of those events that's pretty visible, because like you said, the transportation, the coaches, but also I was at several restaurants where the athletes were there in their uniforms, and so it's very visible. That's kind of fun when people can really see, wow, something big is happening here. But sports tourism is huge. Eau Claire's been in it for at least 12 or 13 years. We were looking for a solution to our group tourism because we didn't have a real competitive convention center option. We were missing a lot of group business.
Right.
And we kind of looked around about 12 to 15 years ago, something like that. And we're like, you know, we can't bring these conventions in. And we're missing a lot of business, but there's a lot of soccer and a lot of hockey going on, and a lot of it was just homegrown. It was the local clubs that were creating tournaments and that type of thing. But it was an aha moment of, if we have the facilities and the community that can support this kind of events, then we could go out and recruit some as well. And it's quite a complex and sophisticated market now. There are tournament planners that know that communities want their business.
Oh.
And so we do need to go to marketplaces nationally to talk to the planners and compete with other communities to bring them in. There's some financial incentives that are involved. So there's a lot of different areas of sports. But what's so cool is there's so many different types of sporting events. For example, I was just mentioning before we went on the air, we're so excited for the first time we'll be hosting the National Arm Wrestling Championships here in a couple of weeks.
Where's that going to be?
It's going to be at the America's Best Value Inn.
Okay.
Actually, and it's going to be June 14th through the 16th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's free, so that's another cool thing about tourism. A lot of these events, the local community can participate in or at least enjoy as spectators. So there's that. I mean, in sports, you're talking softball, basketball, horseshoes, boomerang, mm-hmm. hockey, skiing.
Don't forget Coob, Linda.
Coob, yes, exactly, because we just showed off Coob to the State Tourism Council mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago when they were here. It's endless, the types of events and sports, and it's becoming bigger and bigger just because of healthy lifestyles and that type of thing. And, of course, James has all kinds of sports going on
well,
in his neck of the woods as well.
So. When I think of cable, I think of one thing. I think of the Birkebeiner, and tens of thousands of people show up to that relatively small area. So what kind of a input, economic,
injection is that?
Well, if you just look at the Berkey weekend alone, you know, we're looking at about $5.6 million in direct economic impact from that one weekend alone. But
Wow. You
also have to remember that you've got a lot of skiers that come up multiple times of the year to train on the course.
Mm-hmm.
They come back at other times of the year, you know, just because they've learned to love the course. The Berkey Trail itself has now become a sports facility, you'd almost say. You know, they run triathlons on there, and they run, obviously, the Fat Tire Festival runs on there.
Mm-hmm.
They did a fat back bike event. They have these new mountain bikes that have really, really fat tires that can go through snow.
Yeah.
So they actually did a mountain bike race on there in March after the Berkey was over that was wildly popular. And so sporting events really are one of the things that I don't want to say it's recession-proof, but, you know, really when economic times slow down, the sports really don't. You know, those soccer moms are still going to those games. The schools are still holding their events and stuff. And so it's another thing that tourism can really focus on, that they feel confident that economic return on investment is actually going to be there because the event is going to be well attended and draw a lot of people in to see it. And so, you know, it definitely is something that we like to promote because it just has that ROI that we really like.
Mm-hmm. A reminder to our listeners, we're talking about tourism in Western Wisconsin and the rest of the state as a whole, what it means for the local economies, what it means for the state economy. You can give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment for either James Boland, Linda John, or Lisa Marshall, also, we'd love to hear some stories from listeners. If you've got a cabin in the woods that's been there for 50 years, if you have some kind of a quirky vacation rite ritual, let us know. We'd love to hear it. 800-228-5615. So I'm interested in two things. I want to follow up on the fact that now communities are actually vying for the right to host an event. Is there some kind of, I think of, you know, every big convention where you have things like this in Vegas. Is there a tourism convention in Vegas where you go and say, you know, we'll host your championship?
There are a couple of national and international associations that it's exactly what we do. And one of them is called the National Association of Sports Commissions.
Hmm.
And it rotates around the United States to different cities. And in fact, I believe it's 2015. It will be coming to Wisconsin in Milwaukee. They'll be hosting it.
So this is blowing my mind right now because a tourism kind of a expo is bringing tourism to a, like,
right.
It's like a perpetual motion machine or something like that.
It is. It's very cool.
That's interesting. And and back to the cable, the Birkebeiner. I know that there was some issues with the resort there or the is that taken care of now or is that still in flux?
No, I wish it was. No, it's closed at the moment. And
and that is what? I can't remember the name
right now. The Telemark Resort?
Telemark, yeah.
Yeah, it's closed at the moment, but there's a couple of different investor groups that are looking at it, that are looking at a couple of different options. The U.S. Olympic Committee has stepped up and expressed interest in making an Olympic training site.
Mm.
And so that has piqued increased interest in it. And so, you know, we're hopeful that we're going to get it in the right hands. But, you know, when you're trying to bring people into the area, having those hard assets is incredibly important. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, for the Berkey, for the Fat Tire, for the Paralympic event that we held this past winter, having that facility was the key to that. And so, you know, obviously we're working very diligently behind the scenes to find an investor, get it in the right hands, and see that move forward.
Now, Linda John, I'd like to go back to you. And when I first moved to Eau Claire, I noticed that there was a lot of festivals, a lot of music festivals. I mean, we've got Country Jam, there's Rock Fest over in Cadott, the Jazz Fest. How big of a, is there a quantifiable number to say that, okay, these music festivals bring X amount of dollars?
We do. And in fact, any event that comes to Eau Claire, we do have formulas that we apply for visitor spending. But because of the short time frame, June and July, where we do have Rock Fest, Country Fest, Country Jam, Northern Wisconsin State Fair,
right.
kind of package those four as far as the visitor spending impact. And together, our estimates are they are around $30 million combined. Now, that's 10% of our total visitor spending in Eau Claire for the entire year.
Wow.
So in that 4-week block of time, 10% of our total spending for the year is being generated. And people see that. That's another visible thing. You know, mm-hmm. all of a sudden the restaurants are busier, the traffic is more congested, and we usually don't have those issues. But it's because all of these people, like it was mentioned earlier, they're importing their dollars across state lines or even within the state of Wisconsin, bringing them into our community. How fortunate are we? And, yeah, sometimes it can be a little bit of an inconvenience. You might have to wait a little bit longer in line or whatever. But if the trade-off of those new dollars coming to our community is so significant that I think, I know, I don't mind.
So you got to look at the big picture. Sometimes it's tough when you're in a traffic jam or whatever. But
now, Lisa, in fact, it's funny because I sometimes talk to myself. I'm the one that does this every day, and I'll be like behind, and I'll see, you know, maybe an Illinois license plate, like, be nice, Linda. It's a visitor. Those visitors are paying your paycheck. You know, it's a visitor. It's good.
Yeah, there's a term for people from Illinois.
Isn't there?
we don't use
that.
No, we can't use that.
Visitor.
We love our Illinois
visitor.
Visitors.
Yeah, we love them.
Encourage them to come.
Lisa Marshall, what about, statewide, what are some of the big music fests that draw in lots of people? I can think of one in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I'm sure you're thinking of Summerfest.
Yeah.
And that one is probably the state's biggest, and it certainly has the highest profile in terms of, you know, world's largest, and, you know, 11 days, 11 stages, and just on and on. And it gives the state, you know, outside of our borders, you know, people recognize Summerfest in Milwaukee, and so it gives us a good image, you know, outside of Wisconsin. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many festivals, you know, in every city, and, you know, when Linda was talking about, you know, the ones that come to Eau Claire, imagine that happening in every community, at every level throughout the state. We just had Jackson Browne at, in Door County for a music festival.
Hmm.
Riverfest in both, I think Beloit has one and La Crosse has one. You got Alpine Valley down in, you know, southeast Wisconsin. So
Alpine Valley, there was also Somerset. I remember going to some concerts there. I don't know if they have Ozfest there anymore, but
I don't know.
As a child, I went, and well, a child, I should say, as a teenager, I went. Anyway, we're going to not delve into that issue, but we've got one caller on the line. We're going to take a break real quick here. We're talking about tourism in Western Wisconsin and Wisconsin as a whole and what it means for our economies. The number is 1-800-228-5615 to share your story or ask a question of our tourism experts. With that, we're going to have more when we return after this short break. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking this hour about tourism in Wisconsin and what it means to our state and our region's economic vitality. I'm joined by Linda John of Visit Eau Claire, James Bolin of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, and Lisa Marshall of the State Department of Tourism. We'd like to hear from you what your stories are as far as your favorite place to vacation, your favorite way, and has your vacationing and tourisming, word I just created, changed with the nasty economic recession? Give us a call. Let us know. The number is 1-800-228-5615. And if you hear some odd noises coming from your speakers, we've got a lawnmower near the studio, but try to ignore it. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it on the air, but I can't help it. With that, we're going to go to the phones. We've got our first caller of the evening, and that is Christina in St. Croix County. Christina, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What's on your mind?
My husband has a rare 3-day weekend, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we are outdoor people. We love the beauty of nature, road trips, exploring. And I'm wondering, is there anything going on for that 3-day weekend? It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. I mean, I'm thinking, like, I've never been to Madeline Island or Bayfield or Door County or anything. Is there anything fun and interesting going on?
Well, I think Lisa Marshall would have an idea of where you would be able to look to find out.
I was going to say, the first place I would start is travelwisconsin.com if you're online, because on our website, the entire state is listed, basically. It's the most comprehensive site for travel in the state. And from there, you know, you can start researching different places you might want to go. We have, you know, lists of events a calendar of events that you can look up and see what's happening, you know, that weekend, and maybe that will make help decide where you want to go. And from there, you know, you can drill down and connect to different places in the states and go to their websites, and, you know, or to the lodging property websites. You can book your reservations. So, I mean, I would recommend starting there, and I'm sure, you know, James and Linda might have some recommendations as well.
Sure. Okay. Well, how about this, Lisa? What if someone doesn't have access to the internet or chooses not to? What are their options then as far as finding out?
You can call us at 1-800-432-TRIP, and we have free travel guides. We'll get them in the mail immediately to you. And actually, if you call us during the day, 8 to 4:30, we have some lovely ladies that are standing by on the phone that have been doing this, working, helping travelers for decades, and they are so knowledgeable, and they would certainly be able to, you know, talk you through some ideas.
All right, and how about our local folks, James Bowen, and then we'll go to Linda John. James, you got a similar site or something where people can find out what's going on in the cable area?
Yeah, we do. It's cableforfun.com, and it's the number 4.
Okay.
And so same thing, comprehensive, you know, calendar of events, schedule of events, descriptions of things going on, and then a lot of the chambers also post their information to the Travel Wisconsin website. And so, you know, we work with them to funnel our information to that site as well. And there's an app as well. Travel Wisconsin actually has a mobile app so that if you're more tech savvy and you're out and about and you want to be able to have that information right away, like Linda there on her smartphone, you can actually use the Travel Wisconsin app to get your information pulled up right away, too.
All right. Linda John?
Yeah, and I was going to suggest first travelwisconsin.com. It is really the best first stop because it gives you every community statewide. Locally, we have broad three-county representation. Visit EauClaire.com. And on that particular weekend, Altoona Cinder City Days is going on because I just looked it up.
Yes, Cinder City Days.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Christina.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and... yeah, get out and enjoy. So with that, let's take another call, I suppose. We got full phone lines. One just opened up for you folks. It's 1-800-228-5615. We've got a tale from Trimvale. I hope I pronounced that right.
Right.
Peter, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, Trimvale. It's in the sweet spot, just north of U.S. Highway 10 and south of U.S. Highway 29.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you were calling to, I called in to share some of my recent experiences in Wisconsin, which were excellent. Every year, some college classmates and I go up for a week of canoeing in the Apostle Islands, just north on Highway 63 from here. Last fall, my daughter and I took 29 east, the glorious Lambeau Field for an excellent weekend of Packer revelry. And I'm looking forward to exploring more the Ice Age Trail. Mm. And I was wondering if you knew of any resources or how to camp along the Ice Age Trail or some bed and breakfast to stay on along the way.
Ooh, that's a good one. Linda John, any ideas?
And then we'll in Chippewa County. Go to visiteauclaire.com. I believe we have information on that, but otherwise the Chippewa Falls Chamber of Commerce definitely would have information on the Ice Age Trail.
And I was going to say the Ice Age Trail actually traverses the entire state.
Right.
So it comes all the way down in southern Wisconsin, and there's a segment kind of outside of Milwaukee, sort of in the Delafield area. And I think the website for them is iceagetrail.org, and it shows you all the different trailheads where you can access, you know, the hiking, and describes the type of hiking you can have. And from there, you know, you can find a local community and then book some lodging that way.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks so much for the call, Peter. Appreciate it. And for other listeners, if you'd like to get on the program and ask a question or share a tale from Trimvale or wherever you are, the number is 800-228-5615. Let's take one more call, and then we'll get back into the questions. And we're going to go to Ladysmith this time, and we have got Wayne on the phone. Wayne, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What you got?
Well, yeah, thanks. I listen to public radio all the time, and I just left the grounds of a festival that's up in Glen Flora, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it's something that's not real widely known about in the state, but it's been creeping up over the last 7 years. It's called the Northwoods Rock Rally. Hmm. And we bring in probably somewhere between 22 and 3,000 people to come to this event in August. It's the third weekend of August every year.
Mm-hmm.
And just this year, which is kind of strange because I was listening to the radio just now and you were talking about music festivals and all that, and our first annual country festival is right here in Glen Flora this weekend starting tomorrow. So I thought maybe people might be interested. If they like country music, we've got some of the best touring bands in the whole United States playing the event for 2 days. Seven different bands, and they can go to the NorthwoodsRockRally.com and check it out and see if they can get up here.
Very
it's
cool.
A party.
Very cool. Now, I'm not terribly familiar with Glen Flora. I mean, is it a large community, or is this a small community that has a big party?
Well, that's basically what it is. Glen Flora is a little bitty town on Highway 8, about 12 miles east of Ladysmith.
Okay.
And for the last 7 years, there's been the Northwoods Rock Rally has been going on, and it's built up. We've had quite a few national acts, rock and roll, you know, mm-hmm. rock bands like Oh Saliva and a bunch of different bands, and they're all on the website.
Sure.
But this year, they're doing the first annual country rally, which they'll be doing every year. And we got bands from all over, several of them from Nashville, Louisville, and some local bands.
All right, very good. Well, Wayne, thanks so much for that. We'll make sure that people get it on their calendars. And with that, the phone lines are wide open at 1-800-228-5615. You're listening to The West Side. We're talking about tourism in Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin and what it means as far as economics are concerned and just ways of life, ways to get out and relax. With that, I don't mean to be the dark rain cloud that's going to rain on everyone's parade here, but we had a nasty, ugly recession. Lisa Marshall, how has that impacted the way people take vacations and how has it impacted tourism in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, the recession a couple years ago, I think that was like end of 08 and 2009, we saw a drop. I mean, it was across the board for, you know, many industries, you know, service industries. But you know what has really held Wisconsin in good stead, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, we saw a drop, but then we've been climbing out of it. In fact, we're up about $2 billion. The economy, tourism economy is up $2 billion over the last 2 years. And one of the things that helps us is that, well, one, Wisconsin, a vacation in Wisconsin is really a good value. I mean, when you compare it to, hey, you know, taking the kids to Florida or Disney World, I mean, really, we're a good value, and we're budget friendly and family friendly. And when you look at where our travelers are coming from, most of them are driving here, and we're very lucky. Wisconsin is situated between two very big markets. You know, you got Twin Cities and you got Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then we have our own residents. And that's what makes up the majority of our travelers. And they're within driving distance. And a tank full of gas, they can be somewhere fantastic in Wisconsin. And you know, if you're in northern Illinois, they don't have what we have here in Wisconsin. They don't have the small town charm or the hospitality or the great, you know, outdoor recreation and fishing and lakes and all that. So they want to come here. And so, really, we did pretty well. We pretty much held our own during that recession, and we're still seeing, you know, tourism climbing in the last couple of years.
In the studio, I see two nodding heads, yeah. So I'm going to go to one of them right now, James Bolin. What did you notice? Is it a different story as far as the resilience of the industry over the recession when you're talking about small communities versus larger ones like Eau Claire or Madison or Milwaukee?
I really don't think so. I think that, you know, everybody, you know, there was a lot of concern in the economic downturn. We weren't sure what the future held, and so everyone kind of tightened their purse strings a little bit. But what we saw in the more rural area was that people did not give up their family vacations. They were committed to those, they saved for those, and they were not about to change that. Where we saw changes were their travel and spending habits once they got there.
Okay.
Those were more impacted. But that really lasted only about the 1 year. Even by the next year, we started to see the loosening of the purse strings and things coming back. And ironically, when the economy gets tighter, that's when people that ordinarily would take those trips to the coast or overseas or stuff take something closer to home, and it actually helps bolster our economy.
No kidding.
So, yeah, our the recession hit everybody, but I think our dip was a lot lower and our bounce started a lot faster than a lot of other places.
Linda John?
Our experience is very similar as a whole. Our area never did go backwards. Our worst year, 2009, we were flat. 2010 and 2011, we realized double-digit increases. And 2012 wasn't quite that good, but you're getting double-digit increases on top of a double-digit increase. That is significant. And again, the factors of that have been mentioned, but I'll just reiterate them. Our proximity to the Twin Cities market was very much a benefit. We were closer home. People were looking for shorter getaways. And we were the perfect solution. What we offer here is so much different than what they have there. We have the value, the safety, the charm that is just different from the experience in the metropolitan area. Sports was mentioned earlier. It is, in my opinion, recession-proof. And sports is big for all of our areas here. Your kids are only age 10, 12, and 14 for that year. They're right. Not going to say let's wait 5 years till things calm down. Then they're going to be 15, 17, and 19. So parents will spend that money regardless of that. The other interesting thing that I think looking forward, which is always a part of our responsibility too, is the trends. The millennial generation, I just heard today from a very reliable source from UW Stout Hospitality Program that they are the first generation who will not be seeing travel and tourism as a discretionary expense, but as a necessary expense. Well, they will put it into their family budgets as a budgeted item and not just sort of if we have money left over. So I'm very optimistic about that trend as well.
As far as mental health is concerned, I would say that travel and getting away for a while is if you can do it, do it.
That and connection. It's getting away and relaxing, but it's also such a great opportunity to experience things with others and connect. And the relationship aspect of travel, I think, is a definite plus as well.
And I think what people find when they come to Wisconsin is that their return on that investment of time and money is very well spent. I mean, they're excited to get back and stand around the water cooler and brag about what they did or what they saw or where they went. Wisconsin delivers a great product, and so that makes them really want to come back over and over again.
Lisa Marshall, I was looking through some of the tourism info that I had for this program, and I came upon a term called time poverty, and I was just wondering, does that mean like people have to take shorter vacations because they have to because of economic reasons?
Well, one of the challenges is that people, in the old days, people took a full week of vacation. And I think we're seeing a trend in the last maybe decade or whatever. People are taking shorter trips. They may be taking more trips to get away, but they are taking, the shorter weekend getaway. They're kind of planning at the last minute. So it is kind of a trend that we see. And, people are, in this time of, tough economy, people don't want to leave their job, or they find that if they leave their job for a week that it's hard to get back to work, or they're really far behind and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, time poverty is definitely impacting how people travel.
Let's get back to the phones. We've got two more callers we need to get on the air here. First, we're going to New Richmond. We've got Laura on the line. Laura, thanks for calling in. What have you got for us?
Hi. Well, I guess I wanted to talk a little about frugal vacations, because our family's always done that.
Okay.
And kind of one of the big things that we look at when we're planning family trips is, building memories with the kids, the nieces and nephews. What we do is always we go up to the family cabin that, this is the fourth generation now going up there, work on the work ethic. Last year they got to help clean out the barn. And, then in the afternoon, we go out kayaking and hiking and that kind of stuff. The kids are at a great age for you know, really enjoying that. And I think it's a great way to help instill the values and help them learn about their heritage.
Very good. Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people would agree. Most people would agree. Now, speaking of cleaning out the barns, that brings me to ag tourism. It seems like that's something I had never. Thank you very much, Laura. Lisa Marshall, ag tourism seems to me, it seems like what people take a vacation to go work on a farm, or,
no.
Or am I oversimplifying that?
I think it's so much more than that. You know, first of all, Wisconsin obviously has a huge agricultural heritage and farming tradition. But ag tourism means everything from the Wisconsin State Fair down to the Cranberry Harvest Festival, you know, the Warren's Cranberry Festival, to the wineries, to, you know, visiting the pumpkin patch or the cherry orchard and the pick-your-own. Even farmers markets are a draw now. You know, look at the one down here in Madison. It's like the second largest one in the nation. And then those, also that local food movement has translated into restaurants and how they, you know, market themselves and produce their, you know, menus. So it really touches a lot of different areas.
I hate to play inside baseball here, but James, you and I were on the phone and talking about culinary tourism. It's something that happened recently or up in your area, neck of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, we have obviously the berry festival stuff that goes on. Mm-hmm. Up in our area, you know, Bayfield area has a lot of apple orchards and farms and stuff like that. And so we did actually it was with Lisa Marshall.
Ah.
We did a Geiger tour where we brought in a bunch of writers, and we had the opportunity to host them in our area. And we actually provided a meal for them where every single thing that they consumed came from the area that we were at. The fish came out of Lake Superior. We actually had caviar that came out of some of the fish from Lake Superior, right down to the garnishment and the spices that we used in the to prepare the meal. Everything, the wine and the mead and the beer, was all produced locally, and that was a really big deal. People like to feel connected to where their food is coming from, and so it's a really strong, popular, growing trend.
When you say mead, I know exactly what you're talking about. White winter, right?
That's exactly right.
Oh, man, is that delicious. We're talking about tourism in Wisconsin and western Wisconsin and what it means for our economies and just for our local towns and cities. You can give us a call at 800-228-5615 if you'd like to share a story about some of your traditions when it comes to vacationing and tourism. Or if you've got a question, give us a call, 800-228-5615. 5615. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back with more from Linda John, Lisa Marshall, and James Boland. This is The West Side. I'm Rich Kramer, and this is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking this hour about tourism and all things local and statewide when it comes to tourism. The number to call in is 800-228-5615. On the program, we have James Boland. He's the executive director of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce. We've also got Linda John. She's the executive director of Visit Eau Claire. A lot of executives on this program. And Lisa Marshall is on. She's the communications director for the Department of Tourism, and she's calling in from Madison. We've got a caller on the line right now, and we're going to go to cable, of all places. And Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with you my favorite activity in Wisconsin. I spend the summer months in Cable, Wisconsin, and my favorite activity is kayaking. We have such wonderful lakes up here that are a lot of the lake shore is undeveloped, so it's great kayaking, and we have, of course, the famous Namekagon River, and it's just a great summer activity and great for all ages, and just a fun, one of my favorite things to do all summer is kayaking.
It is a great, great escape. I myself, this past weekend, Memorial Day weekend, went down the Namekagon in that neck of the woods, and just, I love that there's no structures on the side. There's no houses. It's truly a wild and scenic river. How much has that helped with tourism, the designation of that river and that whole St. Croix, you know, area as a wild and scenic river?
You know, one of the things that people look for are unique opportunities that they can't get anywhere else. And so something that is a standalone like the Namekagon or the St. Croix is, I believe, the only national park that has free camping where you just pull up on the bank and can camp. And so, you know, the uniqueness of that quality makes it a very attractive place. People want to go and kayak that river so that they can say we were on the St. Croix, you know, scenic riverway. Mm-hmm. And you know, we just pull up on shore and camp at any of the campsites. We actually had the St. Croix, Friends of the St. Croix actually did a full river float just last week. We hosted, they started in Cable, they camped on Saturday night. And then I believe they had maxed it out at 60, and I think they actually had 78 people that so they exceeded their maximum on it. But there were so many people that wanted to come, and they kayaked from the headwaters, which is in Cable, all the way down to where it meets up with the St. Croix. And so opportunities like that are what people are looking for. And so there are a ton of great rivers all over the place. We're just fortunate to have the Namekagon, you know, run such a long ways, you know, through Wisconsin.
Right, right. And the Chippewa River, I imagine, is a draw for...
Absolutely. I mean, I think Wisconsin's natural resources are such a gift, and it's one of the top draws for people to Wisconsin is the natural beauty and the recreational opportunities that provides. And then specifically, I think people are drawn to water and the ability to enjoy the water, even if it's sitting out on a patio of a restaurant overlooking the water. There's just this draw to water. So we're very fortunate to have that. And, of course, Chippewa and Eau Claire Rivers both go through Eau Claire, and mm-hmm. the confluence area has become a real asset to downtown Eau Claire. Just, you know, in the last several years, we've really been capitalizing on that. One of the really fun things that started to happen each summer is just sort of evolved on its own, but the tubers that go down the river, it's just a sea of color mm-hmm. on any hot summer day. And it's not just the university students anymore.
Really?
It's all of us adults, too.
I'm losing my place. Lisa Marshall, I want to go back to you. I noticed that the Wisconsin Department of Tourism has a new ad kind of a campaign. There was a commercial that was recently made by, and you had some help from Hollywood, I understand.
Yes. The Hollywood director, he's a Wisconsin native, David Zucker. He's famous for, he's directed many features, but one of them, obviously, Airplane. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are familiar with that movie. And, you know, I just kind of came up in conversation. Would he be interested in helping the Wisconsin Department of Tourism? And he would. And he's directed two different ads for us. And this most recent one, we call it The Lake. And we brought in his former star, Robert Hayes. That was the pilot in Airplane, Ted Stryker. And he actually starred in the ad. And they shot it last year up in Eagle River. And he plays the sort of bumbling fisherman who, despite everything, still has a fabulous time in Wisconsin, and we're pretty proud of that spot. We have a couple others that are running right now as well, and they're just started running. They're in Chicago, Twin Cities, and around Wisconsin as well.
Okay, so since those are the major metropolitan areas that are surrounding that outside of the state, are those the only places that you advertise?
Well, we do. No, those are not the only places. We do advertise within the state, but those are really important, critical markets there because we want to import travelers into the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And like the Twin Cities is a very important market to the northwest side of Wisconsin, so we want to make sure that we're getting our message out. And it's competitive. You know, tourism is a competitive industry. We're competing with states like Michigan and Minnesota and even South Dakota, Wyoming, North Dakota, for travelers. So we need to make sure our message is out there and being heard and that travelers are aware of what we have to offer here in Wisconsin, which is a lot of fun.
Now, I hate to bring up some kind of, it's not really a controversy, it was kind of silly, but Mittengate.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'm talking about, there was a tourism ad or something that had the shape of the mitten, and they said, no, that's...
Well, we used it, it was not an ad, it was just a little graphic of, you know, the shape of the state, like, you know, like in the shape of a mitten, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where the mitten was shaped like Wisconsin, and people in Michigan sort of thought, well, what are they saying? You know, are they the Mitten State? No, we're not the Mitten State. It was just a fun little icon. But it sort of created this little, you know, controversy between the two states. And then we actually turned it into something positive, and both states came together and collected warm weather, you know, warm winter items with mittens the first year, and then last year we expanded it to hats and, you know, coats and scarves, and it's been really successful. Linda can tell you, we actually had a business in the Twin Cities donate. Linda, how many hats was that?
2,000.
2,000
hats? Amazing?
That's funny.
And we delivered them in the area to the after-school programs for kids. It was
so much fun. That's great. I just remember... I tried to do a story on it, but I didn't get, you know, it didn't fly with my bosses. But it was just so interesting to me how some people could get so worked up about that.
Yeah. Well, the funny part was that the people in Chicago, you know, they were kind of laughing, I think, at, you know, both Michigan and Wisconsin. And we like to say, you know, we're both mittens and, you know, and it takes two to make a great pair.
That's great. Linda, I understand that I read recently that Visit Eau Claire is teaming up with UW Eau Claire on a new partnership. What's right. the gist of it, and what's the goal here?
So part of the responsibility of bringing visitors to your community is, like James had said earlier, is the actual facilities that or places that they can go, the bricks and mortar things. So sometimes those are long-term things, like we need a convention center, and that's a long-term project. But what we're trying to figure out is what already exists that we just need to work a few tweaks out for access to the facilities, and that could make a big difference. And so the university and Visit Eau Claire started exploring this. We were able to track groups that wanted to come to Eau Claire and that the university facilities would have worked for their events. But because of some of the, you know, things like the booking window for scheduling things or just even conflicts with dates that were currently in place, we had to sit down at the table and, like, put everything out and say, if we could do this, how could that happen? And so what happened was we realized that with just a few basic conversations, the university was able to look at non-peak university time, like school breaks and that type of thing, and agree to some things that were important to us, like being able to book beyond a 12-month window, because a lot of the groups we're trying to bring here are for 2014, 2015, and even 2016. And so what we did is we agreed to a partnership where we would have use for sporting facilities that already exist, whether it be McPhee and Olson and Zorn, the new Davies Center for conventions and that type of thing, and that we would look at off-peak dates and a longer booking window, and we signed the deal, and we're excited to get started on it.
Very cool. We're almost out of time, and I want to talk very briefly about threats to tourism. Are there any threats to tourism? One thing I can think of is the recent fire that happened up there, and I imagine there's a lot of people that might be a little concerned about going up north to visit northwestern Wisconsin when there was a 8,000-acre wildfire. Have you been getting calls like that, James?
You know, not so much. You know, we get a lot of calls from people saying, well, where exactly was that fire in relation to where I'm going or what I'm looking to do? We were really fortunate, if there is such a thing as being fortunate with a forest fire, that most of the fire was contained in a tree farm area, tree plantation area. So not a lot of populous area, no resorts or anything like that. There were some homes lost towards the end of the fire as the fire moved into some lake areas. But I actually drove through that area this morning and was absolutely astounded by the green, I mean lush, bright green grass that is growing right under all those brown trees. It really was a visually stunning thing to me this morning. I stopped. I tried to take some pictures with my phone, but it just wouldn't capture the color. But, you know, and the other nice thing is, you know, if you're familiar with that area, the Brule River runs through there. There's some great resorts in the Barnes area over there, and none of those were impacted by this. And so, you know, all those opportunities are still out there. And I was actually kind of relieved to see there's a big logging operation going on. Evidently, the fire burnt so quickly that it didn't actually burn the inside of the trees. It would hit the tops, it hit the bottoms, it just burnt the outside of the trees.
Sure.
So they're actually harvesting those trees now. And so it's actually kind of an interesting thing to go up and see and watch. And so, you know, you could turn that into a tourism positive too. Come up and see what happens after a forest fire.
Sure. That's wild. And other things I'm thinking about, like, you know, There's concern that this iron mine up north would be would hurt tourism, or there's a lot of people along Pepin County in Pepin County along the river that are pushing to try to ban frac sand mining. And I don't want to get all political and stuff, but Lisa Marshall, are those real concerns for tourism industries local, you know, to where these mines and these things might happen?
Well, the one thing I can say from our point of view is, you know, we're really just a marketing agency and by statute. And regardless of what happens in these local communities, because really, I think it is up to the local community,
you know, we're going to market no matter what, and we're going to market Pepin County, and we're going to market Ashland County or wherever, regardless of what else happens, and we don't have a whole lot of control over that. And I think, James, you usually have a pretty good, you know, view on that as well.
Well, you know, because that the mining area happens to be very close to us in Bayfield County. And, you know, one of the things I pointed out is we're kind of the stewards of the natural environment. We invite people up, you know, to see the, you know, and so obviously we want to protect the natural resources as much as everyone else. And so as long as it can be done in an effective manner, we're in favor of it.
All right. Each of you have 15 seconds. 2013 predictions for tourism. Lisa Marshall, go.
Oh, I think we're going to be up. I think we're going to have a great summer. And I encourage all your listeners to get out and have a travel with a Wisconsin vacation this year.
Linda John.
Very optimistic outlook just with the things that we have on the books and looking forward. It's going to be strong.
James Bullen.
It's looking great. You know, great reports, great bookings. You know, come on up from Lisa and stop in Eau Claire and end up in Cable.
All right. That's our time. I'd like to thank my guests this hour. James Bullen, Linda John, and Lisa Marshall, thank you all so much. That was a good program, a lot of fun. I'd also like to thank Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, who handles on-air production, Henry Lippold, who produced the program, Hillary Cruzan for promotions, and Dean Kallenbeck for keeping me in check. And I'd like to welcome on board Tiffany Coggins. Tiffany is our new volunteer and events coordinator at WHWC, and so far she's doing a great job. Next week, we talk about the price of food. I'm Rich Kramer. Get out and enjoy what we have to offer in Wisconsin.